for you too. Today, I want to talk to you about a really tricky subject. I never thought it was tricky before until a few years ago. I began to study about seeking the Lord. The Bible talks about seeking His face. Not even sure what that means. Seeking the Lord, I thought I knew what it meant. But I learned some things about becoming a seeker of God that I want to share with you. First of all, there is the potential, the promise about seeking God. And the Bible holds out such great promise for those who will do whatever that means, to seek God. And there's some problems with that. I'll talk to you about some problems with that. But first of all, I would just want to start by saying the Bible promises wonderful things to those who will do that. If you can figure out how to do it and what it is, I'm telling you, there's a blessing in your future as a result of you seeking God. If you can figure it out, and I'll help you do that this morning. In Matthew 7, for example, and this is showing you the potential and the great promise that is held for us in seeking God. You know what the word seeking means. You're looking for something. You're putting forth effort to go and to look. And you're looking for something, hopefully, that you know something about. We'll talk about that a little bit. But in Matthew 7, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given you." Real simple. Seek, that's what we want to talk about. Seek and you shall find. So you have asking, you'll receive. You seek, you're looking for something, you shall find. Then the third is knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now the next verse, I want you to look at this. Everyone that asketh receiveth. That's another sermon, asking and prayer. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But here's the second part. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he, that means everyone that seeketh, findeth. Everyone. Everyone. If you can figure it out, it's unequivocal. It doesn't leave anyone out. It's not some people who seek God. Everyone who seeketh, findeth. Thank you. So the challenge is to figure out how that works. And if you can figure that out, think about what that promise has and holds for you. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. In 2 Chronicles 26, concerning Uzziah, the king, it says Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah, the prophet, who had understanding in the visions of God. That was Zechariah. But the king, Uzziah, sought God in the days of that prophet, who had understanding in the visions of God, and is long, talking about Uzziah, as long as the king sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So here we go. It's a cause and effect type of thing. If you can work it out, if you can understand it, if you can grab a hold of it, whatever that means, seeking God, the example of the king is that as long as he did that, God may not allow him. He doesn't say God allowed him to prosper. God made him to prosper. There is favor with God as a result of you seeking him. Everyone that seeketh will find. Psalms 34 said, "The young lions do lack." I mentioned this verse the other day. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, look at this, shall not want any good thing. And I'm telling you, just about everybody that is transparent and will talk and open up will talk about what they're wanting or what they're lacking or what they desire, what their dreams are and what they don't have that they want, and the ambition that people have and the disappointment that people have because things didn't turn out and they feel empty, they feel incomplete, they feel a lack. And sometimes it's a matter of not appreciating what you have. Maybe you don't lack, but you just feel like you do. There's people who don't appreciate what they have. And we want to teach our kids, appreciate what you have. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. But the Bible says, that there are those like the young lions that do lack and they suffer hunger. That's true. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Deuteronomy 4 said, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord. Big if. If thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Same thing. If thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. So it's a diligent thing. It's not flippant. It's not casual. It is really exerting. Jesus gave a parable about the lost treasure, the hidden treasure rather. Once the knowledge is received that there is a field that has a treasure, that's the beginning of the seeking the treasure, is the knowledge that it exists. It exists. And you know something about it. You don't know where the treasure is specifically, but you know that there is a field. So what the guy does, this illustrates with all your heart, with total effort, total commitment. He goes and he sells all that he has to go buy the field. Now, he still doesn't know where the treasure is, but he's making an investment and he's stepping out of the boat. He is really putting himself out there on a limb. He is wagering with his money that he will be able to find it. But first, he knows about the field. He knows that there is conceptually, hypothetically, or maybe even more than hypothetically, that there is something highly desired to be sought for. So he's willing to pay the price to buy the field. To buy the field, what does he buy? Only the opportunity to do the search. Because you can't do the search unless you own the field. So he buys the field with the hopes and the aspirations of being able later then to find it. It may take him a long time. But he's already proven his commitment to begin the effort of searching. And the Bible says, if you will seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. So that's the promise. That's the prospects of great things if we can figure out what it means and how to do it. But there are problems with seeking the Lord. The wicked, for example, here's one of the problems. The wicked who would benefit the most from the prize. The ones who need it the most or need him the most will not seek the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 10, the wicked through pride of his countenance will not seek after God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is true. The wicked will not seek God. Now the wicked can find Christ and the gospel preached and he can believe and he be saved and be born again and come in, but that's not seeking God. The wicked do not have the capacity to seek God's face. The Bible says God is not in all his thoughts. To seek God, it seems like the Bible implies here that to seek God, it means that that God is in all your thoughts. Again, with all your heart. Same thing. In Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, the Bible says, in the old and the new, both. There is none that seeketh after God. And he's talking about the world. Now, there are people who seek after God, obviously. But he's talking about the general framework of humanity. Just talking about the masses, the world. The Lord looked down from heaven in Psalms 14, looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And the implied answer of Psalms 14 is there were none. In fact, he goes on and says, they are all gone aside in verse 3. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. How depressing. If you talk about the world, the Bible is very pessimistic about the ability of the world to find God. And we find that really the good news of the gospel is that God finds you. He's searching for you. He is coming to seek because we won't seek him. The wicked does not seek God, period. But the good news is God is seeking us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I am the object of his search. Praise God. Aren't you glad God found you? And you said, here am I. Thank you, Lord. And so the wicked can be saved, but the wicked cannot seek God. It's a problem. It's a really universal problem in all nations, in all nations, in all of history. They are all gone aside. They are all gone aside. In verse 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? No. It's foolishness. The Bible says the word of God is foolishness unto them that do not believe. So why would they seek when they think the whole thing is foolish? There's no light of knowledge. There's no knowledge of the field, so they can't buy the field. They wouldn't even think about buying the field because they don't know about the treasure. The lights are shut off in their heart. They don't know about it. That's why God has to find them, shed light on the gospel, reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and hopefully they'll say yes to that search of God in their life and they will be found. That would be wonderful. But the wicked will not seek after him. They don't know about the field. That's where we come in to preach the word and preach the gospel and say, hey, there's a field. But you got to be born again. You have to be saved. The problem also is that many Christians won't even seek the Lord. Wicked will not. Absolutely. The wicked will not seek the Lord. But the problem closer to us is that many of us won't either. And when you read about the promises that are held out for those who will seek it, you think, well, why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do that? But there is, it's a phenomenon. And I don't understand all of it, but I know in my own life, I know more than what I do. I know more than what I practice. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know so much more than what you're performing. And you think, conceptually, God blesses those who seek him. So I ought to be seeking him. But it's not that simple. It's not that simple. Christians have God already. Here's a word of wisdom. Why don't Christians see God? I think the Lord spoke to my heart with that question. Why do we not seek God fervently as we have examples of others who have done it through the Word of God and maybe others contemporary that we know about? I know there are people who seek God, but why don't more Christians do it? In time of crisis, why don't we seek God? Why don't we go to other efforts to try to correct things that really, if we would seek God, He would change us, not only us, but our circumstances as well. He would make us not want any good thing. He would fill us full and overflowing. We would have joy unspeakable, not because of our circumstances, but because of Christ and the Holy Ghost in us. And then we're walking by faith. And heaven is our home, and Christ is coming back. And I'm going to have a new body, and I'm going to live and reign with Him 1,000 years and on into eternity. Why isn't that the focus? Why can't I get a hold of that, that it's a real practical implication for my life? Except just on Sunday. Why is it? I think God helped me with that. I wonder why I don't. And it's because I've been told that I already have God. And it seems to be kind of counterintuitive for me to seek something I already have, right? If you ask a Christian, do you have God? So yeah, do you have Christ? Yes. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal life? Yes. Then whether we willfully and knowingly think this or whether it's subconscious, inadvertent, or what, but how can you be motivated to seek that which you already have? How many of you understand what I'm saying? And it's a hindrance to us seeking God. We don't understand the truth of it. We're thinking, logically, I have Christ. And I'm still lacking. I have Christ, but I don't have joy. I have Christ, and I believe the Bible. And the Bible describes a God that does miracles and God that's active in saints and sinners and the dramas of the stories of the Bible. And I see that. Well, I know that I have the same God, but I don't see Him operating in my life normally like I see Him operating in the Bible. And Christians have come to the place that that inconsistency is acceptable because they have God. But yes, we do. But are there parts? Are there aspects of relationships that we find examples in the Bible that you could have if you would seek for them? Could your everyday Christian life change and adapt and grow and develop to a more biblical pattern rather than having a God of miracles here? But in my life, I just want to gripe about stuff. And I just, you know, I'm just bummed out about what's going on. I'm a Christian and I have God. But for some reason, I don't have the God. It's the same God. It's not a different God. Same God. But it seems like my God that I have that's working in my life is not working very hard. I don't know if anybody understands what I'm saying or not. I don't hear anybody shouting amen. Amen. But if it bugs you, you're going to do one of two things. And I appreciate people that are bugged by this. I admire people who say, you know, this is not right. And they don't sweep it under the rug. They just say, you know, my relationship to God does not match the descriptions of the relationships that other people have had that are recorded in the Word of God. Why can't I suffer for Christ and have joy in my life? Why can't I do that? Why can't I just love everybody and just love? And why am I mean-spirited? Why do I have jealousy? And why are the sins of the flesh operating in the church so much? Why is it? It's the same God. It's the same God. But until we get to the place where we say, this is unacceptable that we live beneath the privilege and the prospects whereby the Word of God gives us the template of Christian living. If it bugs us, we will do one of two things. We will say, forget it. It doesn't work. I have God and I don't have joy. I have God. He doesn't answer my prayer. I have God. I don't see any miracles. I have God. So it doesn't work. And a lot of people are doing that. It's called the apostasy. In the last days, there will be those who would depart from the faith. Why would they depart from the faith? They have God, but they're quitting. Either willfully or just over a period of time, unwillingly, maybe just don't even realize what they're doing. But they are departing from the faith. Why? It's because they're disappointed with God. They're disappointed with Christ. They don't see Christ doing what He promised in the Word. And so it must not be true. So they just shuck it all and just quit. Happening a lot. And much of it is an evolutionary thing, a gradual departing from the faith. Some people just wake up and I see some of these people on Facebook. They just wake up one day and just, you know, I'm not going there anymore. I quit. I just, you know, it's not. And they begin to go into philosophy or they do other things or in the world or whatever. But these are miserable creatures. They're miserable with God. And certainly when they shut God and get rid of God, they're going to be even more miserable. They're not finding. When you get rid of God, you're just jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. If God is not working with you when you have Him, you get rid of Him and you're really going to see some trouble. Because God won't let you go without hitting you with a couple of 2x4s. And then loving you too. He's got the carrot and the stick and He uses both of them and God knows how to do it. Especially if you have a mama or daddy praying for you and you start drifting away. Or maybe a grandma and grandpa. You had that, Steve. How many of you had a praying mom or dad or grandparents? Prayed you right into the kingdom of God. God's not going to let you go. I'm so thankful He didn't let me go. But the other recourse is to seek Him. And put effort in your relationship with God and some commitment and make a covenant as the king did. He made a covenant. King Asa made a covenant to seek the Lord. And some of these discrepancies and inconsistencies begin to fade away and you begin to realize that God is exactly who He said He was in the Bible. But it's not like falling off a log. It doesn't come just because you're a Christian. He that endures to the end will be saved. And a lot of Christians are lazy. A lot of Christians are worldly. A lot of Christians are involved in demonic activity. They don't even know it because they're clueless and just downright dumb. Some Christians are like a sack of hammers in their intelligence about the things of God. They have God, but in a practical sense, it's like they don't. It is time that the Bible be the template and not my flesh. But you have to seek for that. It has to be important to you. It has to be with all your heart. If you have to have circumstances in order for you to have victory and for you to have peace and for you to have joy and for you to be able to have love in your heart for other people, that they have to be just right or you can't love them, then it's not the gospel. It's something else. It's something, I don't know what it is, but it's not what I read about in the Bible. It makes me love everybody. It makes me prosper. It makes me what He wants me to be. It just makes me do it. He that walks in the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we could understand what that means and realize that because you have God doesn't mean that you don't need to seek Him. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but Christians are the ones who have the prospect and the opportunity to seek Him. The wicked, they can't even get to first base. But the people of God, the invitation is seek my face. I'll bless your socks off, okay? Seek my face. But you just don't answer my prayer. Well, then seek the problem. Come on, seek me and find out what the problem is. But it just doesn't work. Oh, it works. We're just not working it. Many Christians don't because they feel like they already have God. I wrote that down because I felt like God spoke that to me. And I realized it bears witness with me in my own life and that which I observe around me. Another problem with seeking God is it's dangerous if you don't have some knowledge prior to the seeking. That's why the wicked can't do it. They can seek, but the key is to seek God based on the parameters of the Word of God. You can't have an open-ended whatever seeking, like the cults and occults. Most of the occults, and maybe all of them, have originated out of seeking. I want to seek reality. I want to seek truth. And open that door. I'm seeking. Don't know anybody's name out there. Don't have any authority. Don't have any narrow focus. I'm just opening up. That's dangerous. And a lot of people have done that throughout history. That's how we get abominable heresies and cults and occults and false doctrines and demonic possessions and witchcraft and all kinds of occultic experiences that some don't even have names. People don't even know what to call it, but they enter into deception. And they begin to think things are not true because they had some kind of an awakening, some kind of an epiphany where they have enlightenment. And the enlightenment becomes a fuzzy, foggy God of some, maybe we don't call Him God, but self-actualization or some kind of a, you know, all kinds of that kind of mushy, goopy, foggy experience that people have if they just seek. And what God has called you to is to seek based upon the parameters and the guidelines and the truth, because it's really the truth that sets us free, and it's not an open-ended seeking endeavor. It is to seek the God of the Bible. So if you don't know the Word very well, you really cannot be specific and precise in what you're seeking for. I'm seeking. What are you seeking for? Well, I don't know, but I've heard it's really nice. You're going to buy the field thinking that it might? No, probably not. But the Word says, in this field is a treasure that will set you free. It will give you rewards forever and ever and ever. It's worth more than the whole world. It's in this field. And here is what it's like. It gives joy unspeakable, full of glory, life abundant, more abundant. It will give you peace that passeth all understanding, give you eternal life. All your sins will be forgiven. You will walk with God. He will be your friend. He will never forsake you. And whatsoever you ask in His name, He will do. You want that? Now you know what to seek. So you seek that. You could have a treasure map and not know what the object or the subject of the search might be. Well, it might be good. Somebody opened the safe of Al Capone, Geraldo Rivera, I believe. Big old hype on that. Going to open his safe. So the networks came and the TV cameras on. There's a big old buildup on it. I did that one time, something very similar to that. Oh, man, I was so excited. But it was maybe based on some clues, some fuzzy ideas, rumors. So we're going to seek something based on a rumor, a myth. That's what a lot of people are doing, a lot of Christians. Because there's no knowledge, as he says, there's no knowledge. We don't know specifically what we're looking for. And if you don't know what you're looking for, how are you going to know if you found it or not? There has to be preliminary knowledge, and that's why the Word of God is so important. It lets you know what to want and what to desire and what to crave. You've got to know something about the treasure. So they opened the safe, and there's nothing. I visited an old house a few years ago, not too far from here. And the guy that owned the house said, this has been cooped up for years and years. And he said, there's an old wardrobe that's been locked up for years. I don't know where the key's at. And he showed it to me. And it looked so old and ancient. And sure enough, you couldn't know, but it had an internal lock on it. And he didn't have the lock, or didn't have the key. Man, I had no clue what would be in there. But I'm thinking, based on, you know, fiction and movies, what could be in there? Could be a skeleton in there. Could be a victim in there. It could be money. Could be money. I don't know. I have no clue. But it was exciting, just the prospects of opening that. And I said, I hate to mess this up, but would you mind me busting into here and opening it? I'll be as careful as I can. He said, yeah, go ahead. I said, you got a screwdriver? He said, yeah. I said, well, let me have it. So he went and got a screwdriver, came, and I pried that thing open and busted it open. And when I opened it, I was so, so disappointed. There were empty bags of potato chips and Cheeto wrappers and something that looked like they'd put trash in there last week. So I don't know if he just didn't, he told me wrong or what, but based on the rumor, this had never been opened in decades or maybe 100 years. Well, that's not true because there are Cheetos in there. I found some Cheetos. After all that drama and anticipation and breaking a little latch or a little locking mechanism on an antique, I messed it up. And I thought, man, I shouldn't have done that for a Cheetos bag. What have I done? I'm seeking truth and reality. I wanted to know the meaning of life. Well, you'll just end up with a bag of Cheetos. There's a God of heaven. He's the creator of the universe. And His Son is Jesus Christ. There's some very specific things that have been revealed to us. God has put His name on the line. His word is true. Every word of God is pure. If God said it, He is not a man that He should lie to. He is not lying to you, but you have to seek Him to get the treasures that He has reserved just for those who are called disciples or seekers. You got to be a seeker. And when you've given everything you've got and you are willing to suffer for Him and you stand publicly for Jesus Christ and you get yourself out there on the limb and you're willing to die for Him, then God will open your eyes and you'll see things that you never saw before. Things will happen to you. Words will come to you. Visions will come. There are angels that are wanting to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. They want to reveal the glory and the power of God. But you got to get out of the world and you got to get your mind on the things that the Bible says are hidden treasures. And that's the tricky part. problem with seeking the Lord is that if we don't seek Him, King Rehoboam, that followed his father Solomon, had no clue. His grandfather was King David, the prototype of the Messiah, from whom would come Jesus Christ. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, was the father of Rehoboam. He got a good head start there, good heritage. But the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 12, he did evil. Why would he do it? Why would he be evil? He certainly knew his grandfather David and observed David's heart after God, a man after God's own heart. The psalmist who worshiped and praised the Lord, killed the giant, all kinds of the glory of God came upon David. But why isn't the grandson tapping into that? Why wouldn't the grandson follow that tradition? And then his father, the smartest man on earth, a biologist, a botanist. He knew people would come from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He's got a little boy there, Rehoboam. Why didn't some of that fall on him? You would think he would naturally be smart. You ever talk to scientist kids? They tend to be pretty brainy, pretty smart. But Rehoboam did evil, and the Bible gives the reason why he did evil. Contrary to what would be expected, he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil because of that. He doesn't say he did evil because he didn't like David. He didn't like his father. He rebelled. That might have been true, but the Bible says he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Maybe he took it for granted. Oh, my dad's Solomon. I don't need to study. Some young people are like that. They just think it's going to be handed down to them. And Rehoboam was a disaster. King Asa, on the other hand, different story. Asa, in verse 13, he got so excited about God and seeking the Lord, and God convicted him and revealed himself to him. It said, whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Now, he went overboard. He went the other way. He said, I have found such treasure from seeking the Lord. I have been so blessed by seeking God. It has been an eye-opener for me. It has changed my life. In fact, because I'm king, I'm going to command everybody to do it. And if you don't do it, I, as the king, will take your life. Obviously, no democracy back then at that time. It wasn't a republic, and they couldn't vote on it. The king decreed in 2 Chronicles that if you don't seek the Lord, you'll be put to death. And look at this, whether small or great, whether man or woman. There was a time that seeking the Lord was so important to the king, he made it capital punishment not to do it. And I'm not for that. Thank God we're not under that. Aren't you glad you live in America and you live in a republic and a democratic type of thing? Well, I got a lot of problems, but I like it. King Asa was a godly man. And it was that important to him that that was his decree. Then, so that's the promise, the prospects, promise. Potential. Then the problems. Now we come to the third and last truth about seeking God that we have to look at. Who can seek the Lord? And who will seek the Lord? Here is the answer to that question. Those who may seek the Lord will be those who already have Him. They who seek the Lord will be those who already have Him. I want to share just a few scriptures to show you that I'm not just making this up, okay? In Psalm 63, about seeking God, notice that those who seek Him already have Him. So you got to get over this thing. I don't need to seek God. I got Him. I don't need to repent. I got saved. No, you need to repent. Boy, that was quiet. How many of you know you need to repent? Repent of what? All of it. Whatever it is. Just all of it. And so we have to get over that thing that I have God. I have some kind of mushy, foggy, misty vapor of a God. Now when I read the Bible, it's like, boy, I'd like to have a God like that. It's the same gods. What's the problem? So have to get over that and realize that those who seek the Lord will not be the wicked. It will be those who already have Him. And those who have knowledge of Him. Psalm 63:1. Look at this verse. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Do you see that? He already has God. He says it. O God, Thou art my God. Then he says, early will I seek Thee. And so the analytical guy said, if you have God and He is your God, as you say, my God, hey, buddy, why are you seeking Him? I got a $100 bill. And I say, man, I need $100. Somebody says, you already have $100. And that's how we see this. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. You thirst for that, usually what you don't have. But with God, you thirst for that one that you've already tasted. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, I want more. And then more. And then more. Here a little and there a little. Precept upon precept. You can never be full. You never could be full and satisfied as you experience the greatness and the unsearchable riches of an eternal God. You cannot say, yeah, I have Him. Yeah, He's my God. Yeah, He's my God. Yeah, man. The psalmist said, O God, Thou art my God. And early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth. Why? You already have Him. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Proverbs 8 said, I love them. Notice this. Who seeks God? People who already love Him. If you don't love Him, you're not going to seek Him. You don't seek a God in order that you might love Him. You have to get certain things down before you're going to seek Him. He has to be your God already, and you've got to love Him. I love them that love me, God said. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Hebrews said, without faith, impossible to please Him. You got to have faith first. Seeking God comes after faith. You don't seek God in order to have faith. God has already given you the Word, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And based on faith, now you know what to look for. You can be more specific. It is impossible to please God without faith. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. See the chronology and the sequence. To the disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things shall be added to you. King Asa taught us that seeking God was based upon a covenant with God that you know already. 2 Chronicles 15 said, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. They made a commitment. It was based out of a consciousness and a conviction that there are aspects and facets of God that we need to discover. And you will only know those pieces of God, and that's not a really good phrase to say. Sounds like God's fragmented. But God has... How many of you think that you've really mastered God and you've inspected God and all of the aspects and dimensions of God and all of His attributes and all of His characteristics, and you've got it down and you got it in your pocket, and now you're fat and happy and sassy and everything's okay? Nobody. The wonderful thing is we can enter a covenant to seek the Lord, not based on emotion, not based on a crisis, not because I have to. It's because I want to. I love Him. He is my God. I believe in Him. And so therefore, I'm going to seek his treasures. David said, now set your heart. It's a covenant. David said this in 1 Chronicles 22. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build you the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. That was David. He wasn't able to build the temple himself, but he's getting it all ready for his son Solomon. And he told them as one of his last words before he died, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. And Solomon did that. Solomon began to do that. And that's where he got all of his wisdom and wealth. He sought the Lord. He said, help me. God said, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom to know how to come in and come out, come back. They go in. I don't know how to conduct myself. David is his father. Why doesn't he know it? He just says, I don't know how to do it. God, I don't know. I just need wisdom. And God said, I'm impressed with that. You're seeking wisdom rather than wealth. And you're the new king, and I've given you a blank check. What do you want, Solomon? I love your father. He's a man after my own heart. I'm going to honor you because I honored him. You're going to build a temple. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to give you? What is your request? Solomon said, I want wisdom. God said, I like that. So I'm going to give you wisdom and what you didn't ask for. He maketh the soul to prosper. He makes it work. He makes your life count for something. And when you come to the end of your life, you're either going to have a sense of completion or you're going to be frustrated as you take your last breath. I wished I'd have lived different. I wished I'd had different priorities. I wished I hadn't got upset about the wrapped up in stuff of the world, and I could have been proclaiming the kingdom, and I could have been dealing with treasures, and I'm peddling peanuts. You're not going to like it. So we need to seek the Lord while it is time to seek the Lord. The Bible says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. It is time to seek the Lord and to become a seeker. And the good thing, and maybe you already are, I'm not saying you're not, but I want to encourage you, if you are seeking the Lord, especially during this time that our country is going through, we need to seek the Lord. We don't have this thing together. We need God. We need Him to lead us and guide every one of us individually. What is your response? Tribulation is coming. The end of the world is upon us. Judgment is coming. God's wrath is going to be poured out. Maybe it has already started. Maybe the chickens are all coming home to roost. Where do you stand with God? Don't say, no justice, no peace. Don't say that. Say, God be merciful. Not only to me, but to all those who are hurting and bruised. God, give me a heart of compassion. Help me to be humble. It's to come between the porch and the altar and cry out and say, God, let's proclaim a fast. Let's seek the Lord. Who knows but what He'll leave behind a blessing right in the midst of tribulation. Who knows but what maybe God will leave a blessing behind for those who will dig and believe God. I sought the Lord and He heard me. And He delivered me from all my fears. I have some fears. I have things that plague me every day, and it comes, and then I get victory, and then just a little slack, a little neglect, and it comes back again. Anybody ever have that? You ever backslide? You ever feel like you're progressing, and then you, in just no time, it's like you're discouraged again. You just kind of bummed out again. You got an attitude. God wants us to be sweet people. And to love Him and to love each other and just to say, you know, it may be rough, but I guarantee you, I am so glad that I know Christ. In whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't care what's going on in the world. The Word of God is true. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And you don't have to have ideal circumstances. You don't have to have justice. You don't have to have perfection. You don't have to have it set in order just like it ought to be. It ought to be right, and it's not. And God is going to make it right. But in the meantime, I got the joy down in my heart. The world's going to hell. Oh, praise the Lord, God is good. People are mean and rotten, and God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you better appreciate what you got. You may lose it by tomorrow. You're the material thing. You could lose it tomorrow. Don't put your hope on shifting sand. Stand on the rock of Christ. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. Christ has overcome the world. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Never your circumstances. If they flay you and torture you, and you don't deny Christ, you're a blessed man or woman. Torture you, cause you all kinds of misery to you as they did other Christians before you. If that were to happen, you're still a blessed person. God is going to bless the martyrs. What a reward the martyrs are going to get. You know why? Because when they suffered, they praised the Lord anyway. They stayed true that God is good and Jesus Christ is the way to freedom. It's not in the institutions and the nation's ability to give peace to people. There is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace in the carnal man. The flesh has no peace. The carnal mind is enmity with God. In the flesh, you cannot please Him. It's impossible. But God holds for you the treasures of wisdom and righteousness. And through Him, you shall be perfected. You will be perfected. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. So keep seeking. Keep fighting. Keep pressing on. Fight the devil. Fight your flesh. Don't fight people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Well, that's what we're wrestling against, but we do it by faith, whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil day. And we're seeing it. In the evil day, we got to stand. But how are you going to stand? And the truth shall set you free. Woo, hallelujah. Well, you guys have been quiet. I don't know if I didn't say it right or what, but it's because we're all scattered out. That's why we're quiet. I think that's the reason. It'll be nice when we're shoulder to shoulder again. I can't wait to lay hands on some of you. I can't wait for you to lay hands on me. I need it more than you do. Oh, man. I need you to lay your hands on me. I need you to hug me. I need to hug you. I tell you, this is suffering. This is suffering. I'm starting to develop a bad attitude. See, I've got to get right. I've got to seek God. I'm doing it. I kind of tease about it, but I really am. I'm praying. How many of you are praying? Yes. Praying. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. God, be merciful. Be merciful. Help those who are suffering. Those who have suffered injustice. We love them. We pray for them. God, pour out your grace and mercy. We need God, and we're just going to have to seek His face. Going to have to fast more. Eat less, fast more. Pray more. Grumble less. Grumble and complain less. Put a smile on your face. What are you going to do about the virus? I'm going to put my mask on and do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to not like it, but I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to have a good attitude, and I'm going to praise God and look forward to the time that I can take it off. That's what I'm going to do. God knows what's up.